The role of pizza in America and the general Western world has undergone a major transformation in the past quarter century. Prior to the late 1970s or early 1980s, pizza was considered to be a novelty. Most people certainly did not think of it as a staple, real meal food. Typically, most towns had a pizzeria owned by an Italian family, and the pizzeria served the purpose of providing pizza for special nosh purposes, such as children's birthday parties where, quote, junk food, including pizza, ice cream, and soda were served. Aside from birthday parties, pizza was associated with home sports events and leisure activities. A group of men would order a pizza to accompany a football game, or an informal teenage social event would occasionally be capped off with pizza. Times have certainly changed. Once Western society began to realize the nutritional value of pizza, it was pretty much declassified from junk food status and made a staple in the eating habits of the masses. School lunch menus now feature pizza. Pizza chain stores and franchises are to be found all over the globe. An old-style Italian pizzeria is now more of a relic than the norm. As the Yiddish saying goes, that which general society does is mimicked by Jewish society, and pizza has thus gained great prominence and normalcy in the Jewish world. Most cities that feature a kosher consumer base have one or more kosher pizza shops, and there are over a dozen national brands of kosher frozen pizza currently available. Unlike most of the baked and dairy foods featured in this series, the manufacture of pizza is relatively simple. Its kosher issues are also not too numerous, but they're very sensitive and warrant discussion. Let's talk about production of pizza. How is pizza made? Typically, raw dough consisting of flour, water, and other ingredients, standard to simple bread dough, is produced. The dough is subsequently covered with tomato sauce, then cheese and toppings as desired, and the product is baked for about 15 minutes or so. Of course, there are varied permutations of every ingredient used. The dough may contain dough conditioners in order to provide a specific texture. Tomato sauce is often specially seasoned for use on pizza. Such pre-seasoned sauce is industrially termed pizza sauce. Although pizza almost always utilizes mozzarella cheese due to its elastic texture that provides smooth melting quality and does not easily run, some pizza manufacturers add Edam, Munster, or cheddar cheese as well, while others omit mozzarella cheese altogether. The above description of pizza production applies to fresh pizza sold in pizza shops and to some types of frozen pizza. These varieties of pizza are fully baked by the manufacturer, with the sauce, cheese, and toppings being baked in an oven with the dough. However, in the case of other forms of frozen pizza, typically the older types, only the dough is baked. The rest of the ingredients, sauce, cheese, and toppings, are added raw after the dough has been baked and cooled, and the product is then frozen for the consumer to himself heat, at which time the fresh frozen sauce, cheese bits, and toppings will be baked. Let's get to the kosher issues now. The most kosher-sensitive ingredient in pizza is the cheese. Halacha, Jewish law, stipulates that cheese made without rabbinic supervision is fully non-kosher. This non-kosher, unsupervised cheese is called Gavinas Akum, and it's considered to be non-kosher even if all of the ingredients, including the enzymes, are kosher-derived. Gavinas Yisrael, rabbinically supervised cheese, requires full-time supervision, according to the Ramah, and the Shach rules that the rabbinic supervisor must personally add the kosher rennet enzyme during the cheesemaking in order for the product to be kosher. It should be noted that the rule of Gavinas Akum, non-supervised cheese, has nothing to do with the rule of Cholov Akum and Cholov Yisrael, supervised and non-supervised milk. Even those who consume Cholov Stam, domestic unsupervised milk, are prohibited from eating Gavinas Akum, unsupervised cheese. Because of the kosher supervision cost involved in manufacturing kosher cheese, its price is normally far higher than its non-kosher counterpart, and the incentive for companies to cut corners and use non-kosher cheese is great. Thus, the tightest of hashkacha of supervisory controls must be in place when dealing with kosher products that contain cheese, and pizza is surely no exception. The only real kosher concern pertaining to dough is the use of dough conditioners, as they may contain enzymes or problematic derivatives. Of course, as with all baked grain foods, challah must be reliably separated as well. Tomato sauce is often made in plants that use non-kosher cheeses and meats for some of their production, and there is a serious risk of shared factory equipment for pure tomato sauce and tomato sauce that has cheese or meat content. Parenthetically, this is why most tomato sauces do not bear recognized kosher symbols, due to a preponderance of tomato sauce plants that use the same equipment for pure tomato sauce and non-kosher meat and cheese tomato sauce. Clearly, a kosher agency must be very careful when dealing with tomato sauce sources. Although most kosher pizza is made in fully kosher facilities, some frozen pizza is produced in, quote, mixed plants that carry on kosher and non-kosher manufacture. These facilities are non-kosher most of the time, but they schedule special kosher campaigns with a kosher agency once in a while, usually to produce kosher pizza under a special brand. How is Koshrus monitored in these situations? If the plant makes old-style frozen pizza, where only the dough is baked in the oven, it's fairly straightforward, as the oven is not in contact with non-kosher cheese or toppings. If it can be verified that the dough itself is kosher, which is often the case, then the oven needs no kosherization, no koshering, prior to kosher production campaigns. However, if the oven is used to bake the entire pizza, cheese and all, then it will need to be koshered prior to kosher production. This is a very labor-intensive procedure. The oven needs to undergo libun, meaning a total burnout, requiring it to be turned on or torched to about 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, all under a mashgiach's supervision. The oven's trays also need to be exposed to this intense scalding heat. Libun, a burnout, is only required for equipment that has direct exposure to fire. Other equipment used for non-kosher production needs hagala, meaning a boil out. Therefore, in the case of mixed pizza facilities that bake non-kosher cheese and toppings with the pizza dough in the oven, belts and trays that convey and handle hot non-kosher pizza all need to be immersed in boiling water in order to be kosher. Mixed pizza plants have other kosher concerns as well. Unlike in a consumer setting, where cheese is purchased in slices or small pieces, most pizza producers buy large industrial-sized blocks of cheese that are shredded at the pizza factory itself right before use. If the cutters used for shredding the kosher cheese are shared with non-kosher cheese, they need to be abrasively cleansed under the watch of a kosher supervisor, who will inspect them for cleanliness upon completion prior to use with kosher cheese. Additionally, in the case of old-style frozen pizza plants, where cold tomato sauce and cheese bits or shreds are added to the product once it is already cooled, there is an area where much care and caution must be exercised. These facilities usually perform a, quote, pre-melt to the product just before freezing and packaging it, in which the pizza passes through a set of heating elements on a metal belt for half a minute or so, ever so slightly melting the cheese and toppings onto the dough. This melting process is not detectable when viewing the pizza in its frozen state, but its effect is very discernible, as without this pre-melt, the cheese bits and toppings would totally fall off the pizza in the box. The mashgiach, the kosher supervisor, who supervises such production at mixed pizza operations, must carefully determine any areas of contact and be prepared to kosherize as necessary. This concludes our discussion about pizza production. I'd like to very briefly address the issue of the proper blessings, the proper brachos, to be recited prior to and after eating pizza. Although this series is not a forum for psak halacha, for rendering halachic decisions, and the listener should consult his personal rabbi as to how to conduct himself, it would be irresponsible not to touch upon the issue of brachos, of blessings, when we're dealing with pizza. As noted earlier, pizza was in previous times regarded as a junk or a snack food. Rarely would people make regular meals around pizza. Thus, although some poskim, some halachic authorities, maintained that pizza is a form of bread and requires hamotzi and birkas hamozen under all circumstances, common halachic thinking was to rule that pizza necessitated the recitation of Mizonos and Alamichia, unless a very large quantity was consumed. In light of the current role of pizza, such that it is often eaten as a meal, there is compelling reason to require that one wash and recite Hamotzi before eating it, and that pizza be followed by Birkas Hamazon. Here are some of the factors for this. If one eats an amount of pasababa kisnin, that is, baked dough food that is not inherently classified as true bread, such as pie, cake, or crackers, and this pasababa kisnin is equivalent to the total volume of food that one would consume in a typical meal, one must wash, recite Hamotzi and Birkas Hamazon. This is from the Shulchan Aruch Orech Chaim, Siman Kuf Samaches Sif Vav, that is chapter 168, paragraph 6, and the Mishnah Brura in subsection 24. According to this, if one eats an amount of pizza, even as a snack, that equals the volume of food that makes up a regular meal, he must wash until a sedayim, recite Hamotzi and Birkas Hamazon afterwards. And such a person is considered to have been kaveya suda, to have made a meal out of pizza. Furthermore, if one eats pasababa kisnin as his meal, and he is satisfied from it, he must typically wash and recite Hamotzi and so forth. Only if a person eats an amount of pasababa kisnin for a meal that is so small that the average person would consider it too meager to serve as a meal, would mizonos and alamichya be required, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, making a meal out of pizza would usually require washing, reciting Hamotzi and Birkas Hamazon. If one eats pas hababa kisnin along with other foods, and the amount of pas hababa kisnin equals the amount of bread that would accompany the other foods in a meal, he must wash and recite Hamotzi and Birkas Hamazon. This is according to the Mishnah Brura cited earlier. Accordingly, if a person eats a slice of pizza and a salad for lunch, and the volume of pizza dough is the same amount of dough that would be eaten in the form of a bagel or a roll for lunch with this salad, then the person must wash Nechilas Sedayim, recite Hamotzi and Birkas Hamazon. It must be emphasized that these halachas apply to all types of pasababa kisnin, including dough baked purely with apple juice. Thank you for tuning in.